Turn with me to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. When Pastor Rob said everyone needs healing, stand up. And I started to stand up but then I thought, I'll get over it. I went and watched my little granddaughters play basketball yesterday. And my grandson, after one of the games, my grandson, who is 13, he said, "Watch this, Pop, I can jump up and touch the bottom of the net on the basketball goal." So he jumped up and touched it, and I said, "Well, I'm 64 and I can do that." And he just laughed, you know. And I did it. And I have been surprised at how many places in my body has hurt. Somehow the launch and the impact. I don't know. Anyway, I found out that jumping that high at 64 and landing doesn't feel like it used to. Gravity has increased dramatically. And you jump and it just like poof, just sucks you right back down. Hallelujah. Praise God. But I would like to announce that at 64 years of age, I did it. I can still touch the bottom of the net. I don't know that I'll ever do it again, but I did it. Yeah. Amen. Hebrews, some of y'all sitting there, "Oh God, give him wisdom." Hebrews chapter 11, verse 13. "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them." Embrace them and confess that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. I want you to think about what's being stated here. Apostle Paul in this chapter is talking about the acts of faith that many in the what we call the Old Testament accomplished by faith. By faith in God. And yet they did not get to see the promises of salvation that we have seen today. We live in what they prophesied. We live in what they hoped for. We live in what they saw. I don't know if that gets to you like it does me, but I'm a little concerned that we living in what they hope for may not be doing as good as what they did without it. Is that hard? But we have hope. Amen. We have lived through a very dead, dry time of Christianity in America. We've lived through years of worldly saturation. We've lived through years of political strongholds and corruption. We've lived through years, and it's still going on today, years of just debauchery and sin coming into Christian circles, and the things that keep coming to light more and more and more. And yet we don't even live close to what these people experienced. And yet the Bible says that these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them. Hallelujah. Faith is the absolute confident assurance, the persuasion that something is true. Amen. I am persuaded today that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. I am persuaded today that the Holy Spirit is as powerful today as he ever was in this earth. I'm persuaded today that there is still a church remnant that is holy and searching after God. I am persuaded today that revival is still happening and going to increase in this country. I am persuaded today that the power of God is about to be demonstrated in America like we haven't seen before. And we've seen some amazing stuff happen in this country. There have been some amazing revivals that have taken place in America. But I believe with all of my heart that we're about to see the crescendo of Christianity in America, and it is not going to be a low note. It's going to be a high note. Hallelujah. We're not going to just drop off the face of the earth and go away. I don't care what the devil says. I don't care what politicians say. I don't care what the liberals say. I don't care what the atheists say. We are not going away, and we're not going to become silent. We are going to become even louder, and God is going to demonstrate himself in the very face of the devil. These all died in faith. Hallelujah. And they were persuaded. You know, back, Paul's not even talking about what's going on in his day. He wrote this whole chapter about what happened pre-Jesus, about what happened with just covenant faith. Those in relation, Abraham walked with God. He was a friend of God. He lived with God. Gideon won amazing miracles and amazing battles, and yet he didn't even believe he was worthy of anything until he met somebody and met the angel of the Lord. The angel of the Lord called him a mighty man of valor and put faith inside of him. And next thing you know, Gideon is rising up from hiding in a wine press, trying to sift wheat in a wine press. And next thing you know, he's going out and tearing down the altars of Baal, tearing down the altars of Asherah, and declaring the word of the Lord. And God brought forth great miracles through somebody that didn't even think he was worthy to get out of the wine press trying to sift wheat. And yet God touched his life and caused him to rise up a mighty man of valor. I got to tell you something today. God is speaking to this weak and anemic church, and he said, mighty men and women of valor, rise up, get out of the wine press, believe my word. I promised myself I was going to be dignified today. I even wore a suit. If Paul would have started talking in this chapter, if he would have brought it forward, then he would have begun to talk about all those that's after Jesus died on the cross. And he would have begun to talk about all the things that have been accomplished by faith, by those that have faith. By faith, Stephen preached the gospel. By faith, Stephen healed the sick, cast out devils. By faith, Stephen stood strong in the face of opposition, and being stoned, he saw Jesus sat at the right hand of the Father. By faith, Peter got up and preached on the day of Pentecost a message that caused 3,000 people to be born again when they'd never even heard such a message. And yet it had such power. His words had such power. They were so anointed of the presence of God that it gripped the hearts of people, and they began to cry out to a Savior. They had no idea who he was or what he was, but they began to cry out, what must we do to be saved? I got to tell you something, the same Holy Ghost that filled Peter and caused him to speak such a powerful message is the same Holy Ghost living inside of you and can raise you up and cause you to speak words that pierce the very hardness of the heart and the coldest dead person alive and break that off of them and cause them to say, what must I do? If Paul would have started talking about the things that happened as the church began to grow and signs and wonders were performed at the hands of the apostles every day. This was not some kind of special event that happened. We look for a revival to bring it in most churches. I leaned over to Rob today and I said, when was revival supposed to start? He said, it happened yesterday. Yeah. Amen. Come on, somebody. We're not waiting for somebody to bring it. We already received it. He's here. Holy Spirit's here. Jesus is Lord. We already walk in the power and glory of God. We're just going to partner with those others that are walking in it, and we're going to see a mighty move and manifestation of the Spirit of God in Branson, Missouri, in Springfield, Missouri, in Nixa, in Ozark, in Harrison, all over this region. We're going to see an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in this region. Why? Because we cried out to God and we prayed for it and we said, God, we can't do this. We can't live it. I have prayed and believed for 45 years in this area for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. I've spent months in this church locked in it with fasting and prayer, asking God to visit this region. I know many have done that all across this area, and we are receiving the reward of the faith and the prayers of the people of God. We're moving into it. I got this handed to me today by a sister. It says, for you have sought me with your whole hearts. That is what I require of you. Therefore, I will bless you with signs and wonders and creative miracles. You have sought me by faith, so I will grant you creative miracles. The wicked with hearts of stone will see your blessings and be jealous, but I will bless you because your hearts of flesh. I am here and in your midst, and I am pleased. I believe that God has a vision for us. I believe God has a vision for this area, this region. I believe God has a vision for this place. And we are just simply opening up and saying, God, we are your property. We belong to you. We don't want to be in control of this thing. We just want you to move. We want to see your glory. I want to see the presence of God. I want to see the Shekinah glory of God, like little Gene Darnell did in the Azusa Street revival at 3 years old. She would hide under the bench and take a nap. But when she would wake up, she would see this white cloud, this white mist in the air. At 3 years old, she would play with the Shekinah glory of God, and she would try to gather it up in her arms. And she later followed Amy Simple McPherson, pastor in the Great Angeles Temple. Why? Because she was saturated with the very glory and power of God at a young age. I want our children to crawl out from under the pews at Healing River Worship Center and try to gather up the cloud of glory. Hallelujah. Are you listening to me? Hallelujah. I want them to know the presence of Almighty God. By faith. If we're going to do anything, it'll be by faith. Amen. I want to read something to you. These all continued by faith, but we have seen the miracles. In this, we call it the Azusa Street Revival. Out in Los Angeles, California, Brother Seymour started holding meetings in Bonnie Bray Street. Many of you know the stories, you've read the books. But he started holding these prayer meetings and preaching and ministering in his house on Bonnie Bray Street. And the crowds got too big. Before long, the house wasn't big enough. They were out on the yard, and then they were filling the streets, and then they were filling the neighborhood yards, and the police were called time after time, and they would tell them, say, you got to move this. You can't stay. You can't keep doing this. You're blocking the roads. People are complaining. It's the presence of God. And Brother Seymour knew that something had to happen. Now let me talk to you for just a minute about the fact that God knows how to do things, but he doesn't do them the way we think they ought to be done. Many times when God gets ready to do something, he takes us in some very uncomfortable things, very uncomfortable places. Amen. To where we have to hear the voice of God. And without that, we're in trouble. Amen. Thank God for his voice. You got to learn how to hear his voice. I'm not talking about hearing the rattling in your own head. I'm talking about hearing the voice of God. Hallelujah. Some of us are so wrapped up in our own head, we can't hear anything but our own thoughts. But it's time we learn what the voice of God sounds like, and it's time we learn how to obey it and do what he asks. Amen. And you know how you do that? Practice. You make mistakes. Hallelujah. There's been times that I thought God told me to go somewhere, and I go there and I stand around thinking I don't know what I'm supposed to do. And if nothing happens, I turn around and leave. I don't leave upset. I leave saying, God, I'm trying. I'm trying. I'm hearing a little at a time. Come on. Hallelujah. Help my hearing. Help me to hear you more clearly. And then other times I've showed up at just the right time and just the right place. I have sent text messages to people and joined the conversation they were having at the time I sent the text message, and brought answers that they were asking. And other times I'm 100 miles off. I mean, you know. I sent a text message to a pastor one day, got Holy Spirit, just lay stuff on my heart. I see a person's face and then I hear a statement. So I just grab my phone and text that statement to that person, and then it's done. Praise God. I really kind of like that. Amen. I like prophesying in short statements. Amen. I just text this pastor. Hadn't talked to him in a long, long time. And I sent him a text. And I told him, I said, by the strength of God. And I talked to him about Ephesians chapter 3, that you be strengthened with might by his spirit in your inner man. And I said, God's going to make it happen, and God's going to bring you up. And I said, God's going to heal you right where you're at. I got a text back. He said, how'd you know what I just said? I sent him a text back and I said, I don't know. What'd you just say? He said, I'm sitting in a chair at home so sick I can't leave the house. He said, I have 3 funerals this week and all the other responsibilities. And I just got through saying to God, God, how do you expect me to do this? And all of a sudden, I got a text message on my phone, and he said, you answered the question I just asked. You think God doesn't know how to do stuff? Amen. We don't know what we're doing. We're just trying to find our way through this thing. Amen. I had no idea what was going on. I didn't know if he needed that at the time. I had no idea. But he said, you sent that text message. And I said, God's ready. I text him back. And I said, the healing power of God's coming on you right now. And he's going to raise you up. That's the last I heard from him. The next week, I called him. And I said, hey, I'm just wanting to know what happened last week. He said, what do you mean? He said, I said, I want to know what happened. He said, oh, he said, right after you text me, he said, the power of God come on me and healed me. And I got up and was able to do everything that I needed to do. He said, God touched me just like you said he would. I got to tell you something. God's still alive. He's still well today. And he's still talking. He's still speaking. He just needs some by faith people. I sent another text and something. I don't know why I'm talking about this, but listen. Sometimes you need to just send encouragement. I like being the text prophet. Amen. Praise God. That way you can skip all the small talk and all that kind of stuff. You just shoot them a word. Amen. I was driving to work one day, back when I worked at the lake a lot, on the docks, and I was driving to work and the Holy Spirit told me, I saw this person's face and heard a statement. And I said out loud, I said, I'll text her when I get to work. And the Holy Spirit said, pull over and do it now. I whipped my pickup over on the side of the road. I text, and all he told me is a simple little statement. Don't make long-term decisions on short-term emotions. That's all I sent. She texts me back and she said, how'd you know? I text back and I said, how'd I know what? She said, I was walking to the door quitting my job. I was mad. And I was walking to the door leaving my job, and before I got to the door, I got a text that said, don't make long-term decisions on short-term emotions. And she said, I turned around and went back to work. Amen. God's still on the throne. We need some by faith people. Amen. Hallelujah. Sometimes I'll go months without that happening, and then all of a sudden it's just like one after another. You never know. You just got to be open to God. I believe God's speaking all the time. We just don't hear. Amen. Have I ever read this? All right. Brother Seymour knew he had to move out of the place, but he didn't have any money. Wasn't able, there you go, thank you. He wasn't able to rent anything, but there was a warehouse on Azusa Street. Got to understand, God moves in strange ways. Azusa was an Indian woman that many years prior operated in the gifts of healing. And she was able to heal people through faith. This was years before. And so the street was named after her because that's where she resided. And so all of a sudden, this warehouse that used to be a barn was full of manure was available for a church. Come on, somebody. Full of flies. Amen. Full of flies. Full of stuff we don't want. But that's the only place that was available. Brother Seymour's asking God, how's this going to happen? Amen. That night, the need to move was heavy on Seymour's heart. He prayed to God for direction. And before the evening was over, he had received an answer. Amen. Listen, when God starts speaking, a lot of times it's not the end of the message. We want the end of the message first to make sure that we're not missing it or something's not going to go wrong. But he doesn't do that. He gives you this step, and then he gives you this step, then he gives you this step, and this, and then he gives you, oh, there ain't nothing there, step. By what? Hey, I'd step off of this, but I hurt myself yesterday. I don't need any more jars right now. There we go. By faith. God answered. God instructed him to get on a trolley car as soon as the service ended and go to Pasadena. True to God's leadership, Seymour didn't argue. Brother headed for Pasadena, where it was illegal for blacks like Brother Seymour to be after dark. He rode the trolley until God instructed him to get off. in a place where he could be arrested for being at night, and then followed as God directed him to an apartment nearby. Sister Carney, just a teenager but married, had arrived in Pasadena earlier that day. She was to meet with several of her friends who had been members of the First Baptist Church until they had received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Somehow that didn't fit Baptist doctrine. This evening they were coming together to pray for revival. Meeting together for months now in the apartment of one of the members of the group. This particular evening, these ladies continued in fervent prayer for several hours. Now, I want you to notice these are teenage girls. They were certain that God was about to do something big in the Los Angeles area. Just after 10 p.m., God brought together two elements of a force that when joined together will usher in one of the greatest manifestations of God ever experienced by man since the birth of Christ. Seymour walked up to the apartment that God had led him to and knocked on the door. Now, I just want to ask you how much faith that took. He is a one-eyed black man at night, in an area where it was illegal for him to be, and he's riding a trolley, getting off at this place that he feels like God told him to get off at, and going to an apartment he feels like God told him to go to, and knocking on the door at 10 o'clock. I don't think we understand how much faith that took. Sister Carney remembers the time to be about 10:30 p.m. The ladies went to the door together, and when they opened the door, found a black man, blind in one eye, standing before them. For many people in that day and in that area, a black man showing up at their door late at night would have been a sign to slam the door shut and call the police. But that night, God was in charge. The owner of the apartment, with some apprehension, asked, "Can I help you?" The answer to the simple and somewhat fretful question would startle and astonish those gathered for prayer. After several months of fervent prayer, God responded to an unusual manner. Seymour replied, "You're praying for revival, right?" Come on, somebody. Brother Chuck's favorite statement, you can't make this stuff up. He said, "You're praying for revival, right?" When the ladies responded with unanimous yes, Seymour made a bold statement, "I'm the man God has sent to preach that revival." Without hesitation, the ladies invited Seymour in. After some exciting chatter, he preached to them and took up an offering. Come on, somebody. Bunch of teenage girls in an apartment. He preaches and takes up an offering. I'm talking about faith. Hey, man, this kind of stuff takes faith. See, we can read it in the Bible and thank God for it, but we got to bring it up to date and realize that in our history, in this country, there's been mighty manifestations of the power and presence of God and people that obeyed God and God moved. We're no different. Sitting right here in this building are people that are going to shake earth and shake hell because of faith and the power of the Holy Spirit working in you. After he preached and took up an offering, out of those young ladies, they gave him more than enough to rent the Azusa Street warehouse. You say, "Oh God, answer my prayers." And God says, "Well, I need you to call an Uber. And I need to go to this certain town. And I'll tell you when to get out of the Uber. Kind of bringing it up to date here. And I'll tell you what apartment to go to. And God answered Seymour's prayers by taking him to a completely different city in the dark where he wasn't supposed to be, to an apartment with a bunch of young teenage girls in it, preaches to them, takes up an offering, and they pay for the rent on the warehouse back in Los Angeles. And not only that, they joined the revival and became some of the most powerful people in that revival. Sister Carney and her friends, when they would get there, Brother Seymour a lot of times just sit over in the corner with a wooden box on his head. Come on, somebody. You think, oh, we got this picture of what revival is. What if you walked in here and I was sitting over in the corner with a box on my head? With flies buzzing around. With the odor and residue of manure throughout the warehouse. Most of us would turn around and leave. But there was something that drew them. And it was that glory cloud that would fill that place. Brother Seymour would come down the stairs. The glory of God in the place. And Sister Carney, who was a teenager, and other teenage girls would start going through the crowd looking for somebody that needed a miracle and praying for them. And they saw miracles take place. They saw cancers disappear. They saw lame people walk. They saw bones come back together that had been broken. They saw blind eyes see. They saw it. Why? Because they believed it. They participated in it. And they'd been praying for it. And God answered their prayer and let them be a part of the answer. When we begin to look at the amazing things that God does, we always put it in history. But like I told somebody the other day, I'm getting a little tired of telling the stories. I want to start creating them. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. I want to be like Sister Amy Simple McPherson. What an act of faith. We're right in the middle of a little tent meeting. All of a sudden, God dropped it in her heart and said, I want to do a creative miracle tonight. So Sister Amy, just being faithful, said, does anybody need a creative miracle tonight? God said he wants to do a creative miracle tonight. Nobody answered, so she went on preaching. A little bit later, Holy Spirit prompted her again. She said, does anybody need a creative miracle tonight? And this woman with a blanket on her lap came up and said, I heard what you said, but I'm not sure you want this type of creative miracle. She opened the blanket back, and it was a little baby that had no arms, had no legs, and his face was all deformed. Sister Amy laid her hands on that baby and prayed a simple prayer in the name of Jesus and began to just worship. They just began to worship God. And before their very eyes, that little baby grew legs and it grew arms and its face came back into being normal. God said, I want to do a creative miracle. And somebody obeyed him. Now, I know a lot of people don't believe that kind of stuff happens, especially in our day and in this area. We haven't seen very much of that. We've seen a few things in this area. Hallelujah. But I was born in it. I was birthed in it. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. I was born in Branson, Missouri. But just because my mom and dad had left the road for a little bit so that I could be born, because my 5'3" mom was carrying a 10-pound, 3-ounce baby, and it got a little hard to function. They thought I was twins. I think I was. I'm just two people put into one. Amen. Every once in a while, my smart twin shows up and talks. If you hear me start using big words, you know that's my smart twin just showed up, just demanded a little time. I'm just joking. But they came back to Branson, Missouri. My dad got a job. They'd been traveling with Brother A.E. Allen for quite a while. They'd come back. I was born. Brother Shambach had started his own ministry by this time. He was Brother Allen's associate evangelist, but he started his own ministry, and he bought a big building in Newark, New Jersey, a big Jewish Y in Newark, New Jersey, by faith, walked around it, claimed it in the name of Jesus, paid cash for it when he didn't have a dime to buy it. I want to tell you something, when God speaks to your heart, you got to just start walking. Don't try to go to GPS and get the map. Just start walking. Put one foot in front of the other. You're not going to see the whole road in front of you. You're not going to know what the end is going to be. Your job is to take the next step and to take the next step and speak when God tells you to speak. Brother Shambach called my mom and dad because they had traveled together for a long time. Called mom and dad or sent them a letter and said, I just bought this Jewish Y. Can you come out and open it up for me and get it ready? It's going to be a revival center. They mailed a letter back and said, we just had a baby and we got hospital bills we got to pay off before we can do anything. They got a letter right back with enough money to pay the hospital bills and to get out to Newark, New Jersey. Hallelujah. And about two or three weeks old, I started my adventure in awesome revival and a move of God. It was my lullaby at night. It was what I lived in for the next few years. I lived in the miracle working power of God. And I got to tell you something, God brought me back to Branson, Missouri for a reason. I was not born in it to give it up. I was born in it to keep going, and I'll die in it. But I believe God wants to bring this to Branson, Missouri, and he wants to birth it right here in this area. I don't have time to get into all of it, but for years my dad went through shame because every time he tried to bring up Brother A. Allen's name, immediately somebody would say, well, he was just a drunk, because that's what they said about him. Bunch of lying religious mafia. He was not a drunk. He did not drink. My dad lived with him day and night. He was an alcoholic when he got saved, and he said this to me. He said, if Brother Allen would have been drinking, I would have known it. You can't hide that. You can't hide the smell. You certainly can't be on time for meetings and be as punctual and as active as he was. He never missed a meeting. He kept a tighter schedule than anybody. I mean, he was going all the time. Hallelujah. But he operated in the miracle working power of God. I can still hear it in my spirit. I can still hear the tent music organ playing. I can still hear his voice in my spirit. I was just a little tiny guy, but I can still hear it. I know it. I know the presence of God. I can feel the presence of God like we had in this place today. And it's like home to me. It's like I made it back home. I got to tell you something. I'm not going to be a visitor. I'm going to live there. I'm going to live in the presence of God. I'm going to live in the power of God because he has promised it, and he has promised it to this region. I have tried to leave here so many times. Brother Shambach actually asked me one time to come and be his worship leader. And boy, I wanted to go really, really bad. He said, I've got a tent meeting in Pennsylvania. I want you to show up there. I want you to be there next month and start leading worship for me. And I had to turn him down. I had to say no, because God told me to stay here. Well, if God told me to stay here, then there's a reason, and there's a move, and there's a revival. Hallelujah. For years, I didn't talk about most of this stuff because, like I said, it was a shame to talk about it. You didn't talk about this stuff because people immediately say, oh, that stuff don't happen, or criticize the vessel. But I started digging in this stuff. I started going back, and I have researched and got down to the truth of the people that were front row seaters. I finally found letters from the people that was with Brother Allen when he died. Hallelujah. Religious organization paid the medical examiner $10,000 to lie and say that he died of acute alcoholism and cirrhosis of the liver. $10,000. You know how they know that? Because that doctor come under such condemnation and guilt that he mailed a letter to the Allen family apologizing for lying and smearing a good man's name. And in that letter, in that envelope, was the check from the religious organization for $10,000 that they paid him. He refused to cash it. He said, hopefully you can use this money. And guess what? They was going to go meet with him, but he was under such condemnation about what he did that he hanged himself before they could go talk to him. There's lies and there's ungodliness, but I got to tell you something. We've got to stop backing up from that stuff, and we've got to start standing up and declaring the word of God. I don't care who's messed up. I don't care who's done wrong. I don't care what churches have failed. I don't care what preachers have failed. There's still a God in heaven, and there's still a Lord on the throne, and the Holy Spirit's still here, and we still have the right by faith. We have the right by faith to do what God told us to do. Hallelujah. Praise God. Glory. Thank you, Lord. Let the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing. Let the religious mafia squall and bawl and holler and threaten. Hallelujah. Nobody gets in trouble until they start doing the works of Christ. Amen. Stephen was a well-respected man until he started preaching the gospel and healing the sick. Next thing you know, those that respected him are biting him, gnashing their teeth and stoning him. I was going to preach today on the environment that the church started in the Roman environment, and I never got to it. We don't have it near as bad as what the early church had it. And if they could do what they did, surely we can do what God's telling us to do. Hallelujah. We got to have people that'll pray until it happens. Praise God. God, give us some teenage girls and boys that'll pray and seek God for revival. Give us some people that'll stand up and pray and seek God until a move of God happens. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. I'm wanting to see stadiums packed out like what's going to be packed out tonight in Las Vegas, but I want to see stadiums packed out with people that are hungry for God and the miracle working power of God happening. Amen. With the liberals and all the other religious people hollering and backbiting and lying. Amen. Brother Allen, every town he went into, they called him the drunken preacher, because I don't even have time to get into it. They paid off some people and got him arrested for DWI in Knoxville, Tennessee, and it was all a lie because they paid, they bribed, and they got it to happen. They set it up. And then from then on, everywhere he went, every town he went into, the front page news would say, drunken preacher holding a tent revival. He would get up and hold the newspapers up, and it would say, I've never had to buy advertisement. The devil pays for it. And everybody would come to his revival meetings to see the drunken preacher. And when they'd get there, they'd come face to face with the power of a living God. Amen. He was flamboyant. He was wild. A lot of people didn't like him, but God did. God did. I told my wife the other day, I said, I'm done with all the shame that we've endured for years because of where we were born. We were born into this. We were born into revivals, moves of God. One night, Sandy, sitting right over here, got away from my mom. My mom was pregnant with my older brother, got away from him in a tent revival, took off running, and here goes my mom trying to run, trying to catch her, and Sandy was running in this tent revival, and she was hollering to people, catch her, catch her. Nobody caught her. Next thing you know, Sandy's on the platform standing right there beside Brother Allen. Brother Allen just looked back at my mom and said, you gonna come get her? Every time God moves, people try to bring shame to it. They try to slap us and get us back down. That's why I'm telling all this. I'm telling you, we've got to be tough enough. We got to be tough enough that when God moves, we don't flinch. James River Assembly has been having an amazing outpouring of the Spirit of God. Had miracles take place. Had Bill Johnson and Randy Clark come and miracles took place. People got to talk about the miracles. Next thing you know, the religious mafia rose up and come after him. I mean, come after him hard. Amen. And they quietened down a little bit about the miracles. But they're still happening. Still happening. Hallelujah. Miracles taking place every day. But you let God start moving and the religious mafia starts attacking. Stand with me. I've got to stop. Hallelujah. Praise God. I demand at least as much time as what the Super Bowl is going to take this evening. Amen. Hallelujah. By the way, I'm going to give you a prophetic declaration of who's going to win. The winner. Amen. Every one of them is going to win because they're going to make millions of dollars. And America's going to be sitting there with less money because they spent too much on getting ready for their party. Come on, somebody, listen to me. Amen. But I got to tell you something. If you'll turn your life to Jesus, if you'll humble yourself before him, he'll change your life. He'll turn it around for you. Hallelujah. I gave my life to Jesus at an early age, and I am not sorry, and I have never turned back. I fully dedicated, of course, I was raised in the church, but I fully dedicated my life to Jesus at 17 years old. I was married at 18. I've had one lover my whole life, and that's my wife. I was married at 18 years old. We started preaching the gospel at 19. And I got to tell you something, I don't feel like I've missed a thing. I have not missed anything. Sin has nothing. One thing I have missed is the heartache and the reproach. Hallelujah. Me and Sister Betty can take off, spend time together, and we don't have awkward silence. And yet we don't even talk very much. You know why it's not awkward? Because there isn't anything between us. We are one heart, one spirit, one flesh. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. It's time for the body of Christ to get free, to get cleaned up, to get holy, and let God do a work inside of you. Father, I bless this congregation right now. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. If you can say, I want to be a by faith person. I want to be a by faith person. I want you to get out of your seat and come forward up here and begin to say by faith, by faith. Lord, I answer by faith. Hallelujah.